Some of the views expressed on the Mormon Channel are solely for the education and inspiration of our audience and may not represent the official position of the Church.
And now, The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints presents Enduring It Well. There are moments in life when we face a challenge that seems insurmountable. Our thoughts naturally come, "How can I possibly survive this?" Or, "Where can I find strength to overcome it?" Often we have no idea of the ability within us to emerge triumphant because doubt surfaces in our trial and blurs our forward vision. Disappointment and discouragement can slow us, or worse, halt us on our eternal path back to Heavenly Father. Some progress and find themselves well on the way to recovery, only to have more tests, greater challenges, and adversity that appears to multiply. What happens when we reach a manageable plateau in trial, only to find that a greater challenge is now ours? The gospel of Jesus Christ teaches us our true purpose in life and gives us a clear path to eternal victory, faith, and hope through and because of the atonement of Jesus Christ, restores our ability to progress once, twice, or even multiple times if needed. We can be victorious because we matter to our Father in heaven. Gaining and nurturing the knowledge of our true divine nature and heritage allows us to face whatever comes our way. Welcome to Enduring It Well with host W.A. Christensen and Paralympic skier Jill Wilkinson of Modesto, California.
Over a year ago, I became aware of a remarkable woman who had faced difficult challenges with tenacity and courage. Jill Wilkinson, a Paralympic skier from Modesto, California, had lost her leg to an infection, the result of a black widow spider bite. Just as we were working out details for the interview, news came that Jill had lost her arm as well. It meant she had lost the dream of competing in the Sochi Russia Games in 2014, retirement from the U.S. Paralympic team, and moreover, learning to do basic life skills all over again. Worse, it meant a dark cloud of depression she had never experienced before. It also meant that Jill's story was far more than first imagined. We waited patiently, praying for her recovery and looking forward to this day when she would sit down and tell us how she has found strength while battling ongoing trials. Welcome to Enduring It Well, Jill. It's so nice to finally have you in the studio.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks for having me.
I can't believe you're actually here. We've tried so hard to get you in here. Let's just start right from the beginning of all of this amazing journey you've been on. You woke up one morning to something unusual in the mirror. What was it?
I woke up and I had two bite marks under my right eye. And I couldn't quite tell what exactly it was. And so I just went on with my day. And I was working at an orthopedic office at that time. Throughout the day, my face just started getting bigger, kind of showing signs that something wasn't right in my face. And so the doctors there were like, "You need to go get it checked out." And I was feeling fine. So, of course, I was like, "I'm okay." And so eventually they did send me to, you know, like, "You need to leave and go to the doctor." So I did.
And what did they find out?
Well, that night, my face was really bruised, red, and really swollen. And first doctor had asked if I'd been abused or beat or anything. And I just kind of had to laugh. And he was like, "Well, just go home and put ice on it." So that's what I did. You know, I wasn't given any antibiotics or anything. And
so what made you go back then?
I actually waited a couple days, and it got really bad where I was getting really sick and ended up going to the urgent care. And they immediately started me on IV antibiotics and was like, "You're going into the hospital." And this was probably 3 days after I'd been bitten.
And what did they find in the hospital then?
In the hospital that first time, they actually just did the IV antibiotics, did some steroids, scans and stuff, and kept a close eye on it. Mm-hmm. I was eventually discharged.
And so at some point, they decided to do surgeries. Why was that?
They did another scan and found an abscess in my face. There was signs of an abscess early on, but it was smaller. So they watched it. And so when they saw this abscess, they decided to go in. Your face is real vascular, so they can't just make a huge incision. And, of course, your face, they try to really hide the scars. And so they went in and cleaned it out and found that I had MRSA, which is a staph infection, resistant to antibiotics. Mm. Probably not a real good one to have.
Did they believe that started because of this black widow spider bite?
The venom was injected, and then it formed an abscess.
I see. And so at this point now, you're having these treatments. It's a process, tedious process, because it is the face, and they're working. How many surgeries did you have on your face?
I at least had 30 surgeries on my face. And I would say they were pretty minor, just because the incisions were small, but they would actually make small incisions but have to do a lot of work in there. And what happened is infection eventually got into the muscle and the nerve and kind of killed it off. And so that is what made me lose my smile, or the muscle on the right side of my face. So I don't quite smile as much on that side.
Well, from what I can tell, the left side makes up for it. It's a beautiful smile.
Thanks.
So, Jill, take us to December of 2005. You got an irritation in your leg?
Yeah, I had like a sore scratch on my left shin. And I went to the doctor, and it didn't look normal. Mm-hmm. They put me in the hospital and decided to do a debridement on it. And actually went down pretty far and found that the tissue was necrotic under it. So the tissue was dying. Mm-hmm. And so, again, I woke up with a wound vac on, not realizing that it was that bad. And that kind of started the whole process with the infection in my leg.
That process lasted how long?
A good 2 years.
In and out of the hospital?
Yeah, the longest stay I had was 9 months. I was in and out of the hospital, and definitely in more than out.
And what were they saying?
They kept cleaning my leg out, and at the time it was spreading up my leg. Eventually it came to the point where he had mentioned that, you know, he can't continue to do this. You know, he's going to have to amputate. And I had told him, I'm like, no, I want you to keep doing surgeries and just get the infection out.
So let's stop right there. You started skiing at what age?
When I was 3.
So skiing's important to you.
It was very important to me.
You loved it, and now here you are. He's giving you this recommendation, medical recommendation. It's time to take that leg off, and you're thinking, there's no way.
Right.
What happened next? How did you come to the decision?
We probably went another 7 months of continuous surgeries. Sometimes it would be day after day. Sometimes it would be every other day, you know.
Trying to save that leg.
Just going in there, cleaning it out, doing everything that they could. Mm-hmm. And I had some of the most talented doctors working on me.
And you felt really good about how they performed as they needed to and were doing everything they could.
Yeah. I mean, he was on top of it. He was very cautious, but he knew that he couldn't continue this. It was just spreading higher and higher.
What were your prayers like at this time?
Honestly, by this point, I think I had kind of lost hope and lost faith. I mean, I still had a testimony, but I was getting blessings and I was still continuing on with the infections. I was kind of down the dumps because I thought I was doing everything I could on my end until I remember my mom saying, Jill, are you doing what you should be doing on your end and have the faith you need to get through this?
And what was your answer?
And I told her, I said, no, I said, I completely gave up. And she says, maybe you should pray about it. And I said, I've been doing that, you know, and I'd gotten another blessing, kind of started doing more things on my end, reading the scriptures, praying, starting to get the sacrament in on Sundays. And I was still having issues, but I felt better about it. And then we came to the date where my doctor came in and kind of gave me the ultimatum to make the decision.
It's time.
It's time. I had fought for 2 years. He pretty much said, Jill, this is going to either end up killing you or we need to take your leg.
So there really wasn't a choice.
I had no choice. I mean, yeah. I wasn't ready to leave yet. So I decided to go ahead and amputate. But I told him that. I said, I want to get out of the hospital before I have the amputation.
And why? Why did you say that?
I felt that mentally I needed to have a break from the hospital. I'd probably been in there 6 months by that time. And I just needed different scenery. I just needed to get out.
Now, wait a minute. So you went to girls' camp?
I did.
Did you have IVs?
I did. I had a wound vac and I had a PICC line in my chest and kind of hook up at night or throughout the day. The wound vac I had continuous. I just carried a little backpack around. But I just wanted to go up there and be in nature and kind of feel open. And a lot of times I went off and I just cried because I knew what was happening. And I had to make the decision on what day I wanted the amputation. And I had gone into town and I had called my doctor And I said, all right, I'm coming back on Saturday. And he said, all right, we're doing the amputation on Monday.
So what did being out there in nature, what did being there with those young women do for you? How did that help you at that really critical moment in your life?
I love going to girls' camp. I think the girls just bring a special spirit to me and to others. And there's just something about it. I mean, I've gone to girls' camp since I was 12 and all the way up, and I've been a counselor. I've done multiple things, and I just love it out there. And I love being around the girls, you know. And the second to last day girls' camp, I was struggling really bad. We had had a staff testimony meeting, and I just kind of lost it. And I had a special friend, and I got his permission to use his name, but Bill Grimes, and he's an amazing guy. He's father figure to me, and he gave me a blessing, and I'll always remember it, because in the blessings, it said, it's okay to pray for miracles. And everyone around me was like, she's not going to lose her leg. And I went back and I kind of prayed about it. And my mom's like, maybe you should pray about it. Maybe you're not going to lose your leg. But I knew that there was something else, that the miracle was something else besides my leg. And I wasn't sure. And it didn't come to me right away. Obviously, it took time. And I went back to Modesto. I had the amputation. And, you know, I'm sitting there preoperatively, have my family around me. And I mean, I was doing okay. Everyone was doing okay. Until my 7-year-old nephew said, it's okay, Aunt Jill, you'll be able to ski again. You know, I kind of thought the miracle was getting on with my life after I lost my leg, you know, learning how to walk again, which is a huge step.
Huge.
Going through the prosthetic ordeal, which is challenging. And then kind of thought it was skiing. And then, you know, I wasn't sure what it was yet, but I knew it was coming up.
You knew there was a miracle that would be coming.
Yeah. I eventually had gone to the temple, and it took me a while to get there, because I didn't feel, going through what I went through, that I was worthy enough, just because I'd lost so much hope and faith.
Was it because of that doubt you felt guilt of having had that doubt?
Of course, yes. But I went to the temple. It was amazing.
The temple was your miracle.
Yes.
Tell us how it felt emotionally to lose that leg.
Well, with my leg, I had 2 months to process it, really.
Mm-hmm.
I think that helped.
By the time they actually took the leg, you were okay. You were prepared.
I was prepared for it. I had my aunt doing research on different groups that help you get going to skiing. I mean, by the time I had my leg amputated, I was already scheduled to go learn how to ski again in 3 months in Breckenridge, Colorado. I had already arranged to go meet some local amputees that were doing a mini triathlon 2 weeks after I got out of the hospital.
So this process is already rolling based somewhat on your nephew's comment. Really.
Right. Oh, yeah. That was huge.
And so you can see there is going to be life after this amputation.
Yeah.
So tell us how it really felt to realize that leg's missing. You depend on that leg. How does one get around that?
I'm not going to say that it was easy, because it definitely was challenging. You know, you wake up from the surgery, you're in tons of pain, you start having the phantom pains. You can't even, like, move your stump because it's just so painful. You kind of have to get on with life now. This is the way you're going to be until you die, and so you have to move forward. At that time, I actually had a pretty positive attitude. I was ready to start hopping around and was getting really anxious.
You're listening to Enduring It Well with today's guest, Paralympic skier Jill Wilkinson, who lost her arm and leg to a black widow spider bite. This is Enduring It Well on the Mormon Channel with host W.A. Christensen.
You don't seem to me to be the kind of person that's going to sit back. You're going to just get out there and start going. So during these 3 months, you're hopping around.
I was. I was still trying to build up energy, of course, from, you know, but
you had been sick.
I'd been very sick. And they took my leg and I was still on IV antibiotics, but I was starting to feel better.
Looking at this point in your life, what was the hardest part about that trial?
I honestly have to say my lack of faith and having to gain it back and to trust Heavenly Father and kind of put Him in charge. And I knew that I was going to be able to handle it, but I knew it wasn't going to be easy.
Was that a valuable lesson He was teaching you?
Oh, yeah. It was a wake-up call.
So, let's move forward. You're able to ski. This is one of those things that's going to pull you forward. How does an amputee ski?
There's a few ways, actually. I was a three-tracker, so I skied on my right leg, and I used outriggers, which are like arm crutches with little skis on the bottom. Mm-hmm. And they're there for balance and kind of give you a direction when you're going down.
Were you surprised you could ski again?
Actually, I went with a really big head, and I said, oh, this is going to be so easy. I've been skiing since I was three. Come on. I did like a lot of race clinics and did a few races as a kid. And we used to have to go up and down on one ski. And so I was like, oh, this is going to be easy. So I get situated and go up the chairlift. And I had taken my mom and my oldest niece, Ashley, with me, who I had taught to ski when she was three. I get up on the chairlift and I go to get off and I fall. And I'm like, are you kidding me? But then I don't know how to get up. I mean, normally you use two legs, get up, you push yourself up.
What'd you do?
They have instructors that were with me at this camp. And so, of course, they kind of like yanked me up. And so they're trying to teach me, okay, make a right turn. Well, I couldn't go slow. So I could only go fast. But then if I fell, I didn't know how to get up. And so the first couple days were really challenging. My mom's passing me. My niece is passing me. I'm like, this is not even good.
This was a little hard on your ego.
It was very hard. It was very hard.
What do you love most about skiing?
I just feel free out there. It's like freedom. I mean, the wind is just blowing in your face. Your cheeks are red. It's cold. You know, being at that camp and skiing with other disabled people, you fit right in. You don't feel like an outcast.
So at this point, you're back out there. You're feeling that wind on your face. You're moving. It's a little different than the way you were moving before.
Right.
But you're moving.
I am. It took about the third day, and then I passed my mom, and she's like, oh, shoot, she's finally back. And then I had caught on.
So looking back at it now from your perspective, how did skiing help you recover from this tragic thing that was going on in your life?
It gave me something to look forward to. I wanted to go skiing mentally. It was huge mentally because it allowed me to go out there and do something that I did before I lost my leg, even though I was missing it. I could do the same thing, just a different way.
You were a little bit changed, but you were still Jill, the downhill racer.
Yep.
What was it like being a member of the U.S. Paralympic team?
It was amazing. I got hooked up with a mentor who was a former Paralympic skier, and she hooked me up with the race director at Winter Park, Colorado, with the National Sports Center for the Disabled.
And that's where you trained, was in Winter Park, Colorado.
And that's where I trained. And so this was only 3 months after I lost my leg.
Wow.
2 months later, he invited me to come out. You know, I skied out there and he's like, you know, we want you to join the NSCD team. And I was like, I'd love to. So the next season I went out full time and you ski 5 days a week. And the people I raced against were good friends of mine from other countries.
You're talking to my heart. I'm from Colorado, and that's the first place I ever skied. So you're out there, you're skiing, you're part of the team. How far did you go with that? What did you do?
You know, you train really hard, and then you go off to races. And so my first race was actually here in Park City. I had taken second in the slalom and giant slalom. Did a few more races, and then I went to U.S. Nationals and took third in, I believe it was the downhill, and that was in Alaska. And so that was an experience, but I was just kind of in awe. And then I had to take the next season off and had to have some revisions and some surgeries, and really was a setback, but was able to go back out there the next 2 years and train really hard. And I was training for the Paralympic Games, which are in Sochi, Russia in 2014 in March. And that kind of all changed for me.
Something happens to your hand. What happened?
I was on crutches because the last season I was in Colorado, towards the end, I had a fall and landed on the end of my stump and ended up having a few surgeries. And
let me stop you right there, because I think it was right around this time that I initially communicated with you. We wanted to interview you right about the time of that accident. And our schedules just never quite worked out. You're on crutches, something else happens. Tell us what happened.
Yeah, I had been on the crutches for a good 6 months. Ended up with an infection in my left hand. I ended up having three surgeries on it. And after the third one, my doctor, who had amputated my leg, said, Jill, this is going in the same direction as your leg. We probably should amputate it. So a couple weeks had passed, and I went to bed on a Sunday night and woke up Monday morning, my hand was stuck in the open position. And it was probably 3-4 times the size that it should have been. And I couldn't move it because it was so swollen. It was bright red. My fingertips were gray because it was so swollen. I wasn't getting any circulation. And you can just see the redness spreading up my arm. And that was probably the second time that I've called my surgeon on his cell phone. And I said, there's something wrong. And I went into his office. And he goes, we need to amputate this today.
So you've already been down this road emotionally. And now it hits you again. That had to have really knocked you off your feet.
It hit me hard. I thought that I had lost all faith and hope with my leg. I completely lost it with my arm, thinking, how can this happen again? It was very trying. I mean, I'm going, you know, I couldn't wear my prosthetic at that time. I, you know, have now just lost my arm. I couldn't get around. I luckily had friends that just rallied around me and supported me. I just cried at all the support I had and all the love that people were, you know, sharing and sending my way, and people fasting and praying. And I mean, it was amazing.
That's on the same side as your other leg. Mm-hmm. Therefore, there goes your skiing.
Yes, I actually have not skied yet, but this February I'm going to go back to Winter Park and learn how to ski.
Because that arm would have been that one outrigger ski.
My coaches believe in me, and I believe in myself. And whether I use two poles or if I use outriggers, I'm not sure, but we're going to figure it out.
You had already gone through something that most people don't have to do, and now it's compounded on that, on top of that. And something we haven't even talked about, pre all of this, you were a ski instructor, and you were skiing when a snowboarder out of control came over a hill and hit you, and you were in pretty bad shape.
I was life-flighted off the mountain and had some head injuries. And, you know, I had to use a walker, had a foot drop. They weren't sure if I would, you know, be able to walk, let alone walk normal, if I'd be able to ski again.
What do you think you learned about Jill Wilkinson through your trials?
First off, I definitely would have to say patience, definitely courage and faith. There's no way I could have come this far without faith.
So you said a minute ago that your faith was waning. Mm-hmm. It was being tested, but you also just said you had faith. What I hear you saying is it's possible to have those moments where it's not as strong, but you can get it back.
Kind of reminds me of like a roller coaster. You know, your faith can be really strong and then it can kind of dip down a little bit and not be as strong. And then, you know, you do the things you need to and you get your faith back up there.
And what were some of those things you did in those moments?
Fasted and prayed and got blessings. And, you know, I struggle each morning to get out of bed. It's really hard to find a reason to get out of bed right now. You know, I still struggle going to church. It's definitely not easy, as you know.
Physically,
yeah. You know, with your family and your kids, is that, I mean, it takes a while to get ready. And I still have a hard time accepting my disability. I still find it challenging to go out in public, even though it's getting easier, but it's definitely a struggle.
I think that's very interesting you bring that up. In all of the various episodes we've had here on Enduring It Well, it's barely ever talked about. And yet I've seen it in my own family. As you mentioned, we've taken our children out and into public, into amusement parks, Disneyland, or airports, and you see a variety of different reactions. I think that's a real challenge that people face, and it isn't always talked about. And I do believe that there are some who try really hard to help people not feel as if they're under the spotlight. And so I think you kind of see both sides of that. But it's interesting, just a couple of days ago, my wife sent a quote to our oldest son that I love. Why are you trying so hard to fit in when you were born to stand out? There is a need to recognize who we really are from an eternal perspective, which brings my next question. Jill, what did you learn about your father in heaven during this time?
That no matter how much faith we have, he's always there and he always loves us and he won't give us anything that we can't overcome. I mean, that's why he sent us here, to overcome trials. I know people have harder trials than I do, but I know that he is always going to love me, no matter what.
And that goes a long way.
Yes, for sure.
So how is it that Jill Wilkinson survives medical and mental crises? How do you do that?
That's a good question. I say lots of doctors and medication and it's been a challenge. Since I lost my arm, I suffer from depression and PTSD, and the mental part has been challenging, being, you know, diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder, and depression is something new for me. I've never had that. I've never had to deal with that. You know, luckily no one in our family has, so it's been really hard for people in my family to even know where to start to help me with it.
And what would you say to someone who's doing just as you've done, is facing that suddenly for the first time? What words of encouragement would you give?
I'm going to say it's not easy. It's going to be hard, but you're going to overcome it. It's taken me a year to get where I'm at now, where I actually want to be able to do things and step outside and to open my blinds and let the light in. But it definitely isn't easy. It's challenging, and you have to take the first step to do it.
With all of the loss, with the ongoing loss, what has Jill gained?
I've definitely gained a stronger testimony, Jesus Christ, the power of the atonement and the resurrection. You don't seem like you're gaining a lot until you look at the big picture. You know, it took me a while to think, oh, wow, I really actually have gained a lot through this.
Over the 32 years that my family has faced muscular dystrophy, there's been a lot of discussion, sometimes in really heartfelt moments where someone's lingering near death or after one of the children has passed away. There have been these discussions that we've had on a family level, personal level, that have been really powerful discussions about the wonder of the resurrection and what that will mean to our children to have perfect bodies. I'm certain you've thought about that. The fact that, as Alma says, everything will be restored to its perfect frame, to where not even a hair will be lost. That arm will come back. That leg will come back.
I have, and I really didn't think much about it until I had lost my leg. It actually, for some reason, had come up when I was taking the classes to go through the temple, and I just kind of fell into tears and got really excited. Like, I'm going to have my leg back. It's going to be perfect. I mean, I'm going to have my arm. It's something kind of hard to say to look forward to, but something exciting. It's so powerful.
You deserve to be able to look forward to something that's amazing out there. That's how I've looked at it with my children. I know that they've looked towards that day that we always say that we plan on running a race in heaven.
Right.
We're looking forward to that. And as you think about the fact that everything will be restored, what feelings do you have towards the Savior, who is the very one who allowed that to happen? It would not have happened had he not been willing to do what he did in the garden, to go to Golgotha.
You know, I have kind of thought about that. And, you know, the first thing I plan on doing is just giving him a big hug and just saying thank you, because I don't think there's any other words that can describe to thank him enough for what he did for me to be here. And even though I'm going through these trials, it's nothing compared to what he went through. And so for me to be in his presence, that's going to be an amazing day. It's going to be an amazing day. And I don't think I can thank him enough for the trials I've gone through. They have been the hardest things I've ever gone through in my life. I wouldn't wish it upon anyone else. But, you know, he gave them to me for a reason. I remember learning more about Job, obviously, and he always had a group of friends that supported him and that rallied around him. I know what that feels like. I have been hit with these rocks and been knocked down, but I've always had that group of friends.
That's priceless.
I mean, I've had my mom lay in my bed with me and hold my hand as I've cried and help me get through the things that, you know, I need to get through. I've had friends come and just sit with me and just hold my hand.
What advice do you have for someone who may be facing a similar loss, maybe a loss of a limb or a loss of identity, a loss of something that they loved to do. You loved to ski, and you had to go through that process of that loss. I am absolutely certain you'll be on the slopes again. There's no doubt about it, and you'll feel that wind in your face again. What would you say to them to help them put their trial into perspective?
The first thing I'd have to say is hang in there. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be a bumpy road. You're going to have your good days. You're going to have your bad days. Even if you have a new challenge or trial or you have an older one, I mean, you're going to have your good or bad days. And if you just hang in there, you'll be able to overcome it and get through it. Open those blinds and let the light in.
Is Jill Wilkinson a blessed woman?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
In what way?
The love of my Heavenly Father has gotten me through so much. I have to honestly say that I'm blessed to be an amputee. I am blessed to have the support group that I have and the friends and family that I have that get me through each day. And I don't think I would go back and change a single thing. And that's kind of difficult to say because I would love to have my leg and love my arm, but this is what is meant to be here on Earth. There's nothing I can change about it, and the only thing I can do is go forward with it. I'm grateful for the plan of salvation. Look forward to the day that I get a return to my Heavenly Father. These challenges that we have are meant to be for us. We are only given the challenges that we can overcome. I can overcome this. I am grateful to have gone through them. They have not been easy, but I know with my Heavenly Father's hand holding mine that I will be able to get through this from here on out.
This has been Enduring It Well with host W.A. Christensen, presented by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.